bless him. We're gonna bless him. Glory be to Jesus. We bless your name. We honor your name. Faithful God. Can we lift up our hands wherever you're joining us this morning, the comfort of your home. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Father, we are grateful. Father, we are grateful. Father, we are thanking you this morning from the bottom of our hearts. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of family. We thank you for your mercies that has kept us. Glorious God, we bless you. Glorious God, we adore you. Father, we give you praise because we know that in your presence there is fullness of joy. We come with a heart of expectation this morning. We come with great anticipation. Lord, let every expectation be met this morning. Thank you for stretching forth your hand to touch and to heal. Thank you for glorifying yourself. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We'd like to welcome every one of us this morning once again to our online service. This is There to Dream Christian Center, the place where dreams are conceived, nurtured, and fulfilled. It gives us it's a great honor, rather, and privilege to come into your world this morning. And today is Mother's Day. We'd like to say a big congratulations to all the mothers in the house and mothers in the world. I want to thank God for the gift of motherhood. I want to thank you for being such a blessing. We thank God for mothers. Mothers are such a huge blessing. We will forever be grateful for the sacrifice of the mothers in our lives. And this morning, I bring you a word of encouragement and hope once again. We will have some very special moments dedicated in this service this morning to celebrate mothers generally. I will also be praying for mothers generally also. So we'd like you to keep the switch of faith on by the special grace of God this morning. I intend to also continue with a series on how to prosper in a time of crisis. How to prosper in a time of crisis. I think so far I have shared with us about 8 keys, if I'm not mistaken. We have spoken about 8 keys on or secrets to prospering in a time of crisis. We are living in a time of crisis. The word crisis means a critical period, a testing time, a time of intense difficulty and danger. The word crisis also means an emergency event. The incidents of the COVID-19 pandemic has brought a lot of, has thrown the world actually into a state of crisis. But we know that even the face of the crisis, God is still very much at work. I want you to release your faith this morning as we go into God's word once again. God's word always offers us hope. It brings us great comfort. And I trust today that God's word will be meeting you at the very point of your need. So let us read a foundation scripture that is found in 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 24. We read up to verse 30. Then we go to chapter 7. And we'll read some few verses. 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 24. And it came to pass after these things that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, that's like $50, and the fourth part of a calf of a dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver, that's about $3. And as the king of Israel was passing But upon the wall there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress?" And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee, or what troubleth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, Give me your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. And so we boiled my son and did eat him, and said unto her the next day, Give me your son that we may eat him. And she hid her son." What a pathetic situation. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes and passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth upon his flesh. And he said, "God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand upon his head." 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 and 2 and verse 16. And Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with your eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Verse 16. And the people went out and spoiled the tent of the Syrians, so that a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, thank you, because the entrance of your word giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple. I ask this morning, as your word is coming out, let it meet everyone at the very point of their needs. I receive utterance today to bring your word out with precision and power. Lord, none of me but all of you, glorify yourself once again. We give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Like I said, we are continuing our series on how to prosper in a time of crisis. I have shared with us some very important keys that will help you and I to survive, to succeed, and have significance in this very time that we're living in. I want you to know something, that there's a way to live in a time of crisis. There's a way to behave in a time of crisis. There's a way to go in a time of crisis. And thank God, God has not left us without a word of hope. I want you to know something, that God has a contingency plan. I want you to know that God has you all covered. If you and I are going to prosper, if you and I are going to succeed in this time, we must walk in the ways of God. We must walk in the paths of God. And that's what we have been sharing so far. We have looked at seven extensively. I think was the eighth one that I stopped the last time we met. And I want you to know that these are timeless principles that will serve you any day, any time. The word of God is true. God's mandate is clear. If you read Psalm 37 verse 19, it says, "You will not be ashamed in the evil time. You will be satisfied in the time of famine." That is the word of the Lord. So God has a plan to prosper you. God has a plan for you to succeed in this time. I love Job. Job 5 verse 22 says, "In the time of destruction and famine, you will laugh." Now, that is the word of the Lord. That is the will of God for you, that you will laugh, that you will triumph, and that you will overcome in such a time as this. And the keys that we have been examining will help you to prosper. The word prosper means to succeed. The word prosper also means to excel in all that is good and desirable. And last time we met, that was on Tuesday, I started off on the eighth key that will help you to prosper in a time of crisis, which is, you need to be mindful of the resources that you have at your disposal. But by this, I simply mean that you must be a prudent manager of resources. If you are going to succeed in a time of famine, you must be a prudent manager of resources. If you're a waster, if you're a spendthrift, there's no how you can succeed and survive. in a time of famine. And ladies and gentlemen, when you look at scriptures, you see that God frowns against waste. God frowns against waste. In the miracle of the loaves in John chapter 6 verse 12, Jesus said, gather the fragments that remain, let nothing waste, let nothing perish. In other words, he was interested in preserving the harvest. He wanted us to be a prudent manager of resources. Many of us know the story of the prodigal. Luke 15, what ruined the prodigal was because the prodigal lacked the spirit of water, prudency. The prodigal did not make good use. Imagine somebody who had inherited a huge fortune. He wasted his substance. Luke 15 verse 13 with what? Riotous living. He lived anyhow. He lived recklessly. He lived as if to say, tomorrow will not come. Hear me and hear me well. If you want to survive, if you want to succeed in a time of crisis, you must be able to, you must be a prudent manager of the resources that you have at your disposal. It is so key. It is so vitally important. Let me say this to you. Listen to this. If you cannot manage effectively what you have, the little that you have, God cannot give you much. That's how God operates. If you look at Proverbs 21 verse 20, it says there is treasure and all rather to be desired in the dwelling of the righteous, but a foolish man spends it up. Years ago, I had one of my mentors said, if you spend all that you have, then your wisdom pipe is blocked. In other words, it was talking about being prudent. Ladies and gentlemen, we talk about Joseph today. Joseph was was the person that God used to preserve the nation of Egypt and the rest of the world from the famine. But you know something about Joseph? Joseph had so many gifts. He had so many skills. One of the skills that he possessed was that Joseph was a prudent manager of resources. You ask yourself this question, why was he promoted in the house of Potiphar? It was because of his prudency. That's why he rose. Listen to this. If you are not faithful with the little you have, you don't qualify for promotion yet. Listen, Joseph was faithful in Potiphar's house. That was why he rose to be the head. Listen, for Potiphar to put everything he owned into his hands and welfare was because he trusted him to make judicious use. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know without any hint of doubt that one of the skills that will serve you well and help you to survive and succeed in a time of famine is that you must be a prudent manager of resources. When Joseph found himself in prison, it was that same skill that helped him. Why was he put in charge? He became the head of the prisoners. He became somebody was in charge of the prison because of his prudency. And no wonder when he appeared before Pharaoh, it was this important skill that Pharaoh also noticed. He did not just explain the dream of the king, he gave the answer. And the answer to the dream of the king lies in what? Being prudent with resources that they had. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to succeed in this time of famine, in this time of crisis, you need to be a prudent manager of resources. As we go on this morning, I want to ask you, want to look at some very important questions or a checklist of things that can help you to know whether you're a prudent manager of resources or not. Listen to me. The person that cannot manage the little that he has in the time of abundance will not be able to manage much in the time of what? In the time of scarcity. That is how it operates. And you know, I was thinking about something in the story we read this morning. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 8, when they got to the camp of the Syrians, aside. That's the spirit of prudency at work. Succeed in this time of all that you have or earn, it simply means that you are not a prudent manager of resources. In other words, do you buy things just because you felt like buying it, or do you buy things all that he had? And the Bible says, and there arose a mighty famine, and so that I'm a prudent manager of resource or not. Do you have an investment mentality? Do you have the mentality of an investor? Results into a profit or results into an advantage. If you you can see that that person does not know. Curious, there are some attitudes that will never allow you to rise in a time of famine. And I believe this morning that of every country, that these are questions that will help you to know whether you're a prudent manager of resource or not. Do you spend more that you earn or make? If you are always to commit more into your hands. He that is faithful in little shall be faithful in much. He that is unjust, clearly written out, financial goal or goals. Financial goal is your roadmap. Your roadmap to financial freedom as per where you want to go lacks the ability to manage resources effectively. Very clear to you, something that you know. Listen, if you don't know where you are, you are likely to settle for something else. That's why it's important to know where you are this morning. I pray that the wisdom to conceal and to write out your fine, you always depending on others. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with being a dependent. There's a time when you were a child. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 11. Paul says, when I was a child, I know that it's an indication that you have not been able to manage what you have. Hear me. The Bill Gates of these wasters drift in the kingdom of God. If you want God to commit more to your hand, if you want to succeed in this time of crisis, you need to do life. Money is meant to be spent wisely. You need to know where your money is going. You need to know what you're putting your money in. The prodigal lacked control. He had no control. Do you know? That is the key. That's the way to rising in the time of crisis. You see, when you become a prudent manager of resources, I can handle more. And it's a spiritual principle. If you can meet this criteria, God will commit more in this season and beyond this season in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, before I leave this point on becoming a prudent manager of resource or resources, I think it would be very appropriate to share with us, how can I become a prudent manager of resource? How can I show to God when I have much? That's not the way God operates. The ways of God are not the ways of man. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are better than your thoughts. You need to be able to handle little now. That's the indicator. That's the proof to God that you will handle much. I see you passing this test in the name of Jesus. So how can I become a prudent manager of resources? Number one, you need to imbibe the culture of savings. You need to imbibe the principle of the culture of savings. I know most of the time people are always saying that it's difficult to save. That is true, but it's possible. The fact that it's difficult does not mean it's not doable. I want you to know that until you bring yourself to bear, until you bring yourself under this control, you will never be able to break free and break forth in life. Proverbs 21 verse 20, it says there is a treasure and oil. Notice that word, treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. There lies treasure, there lies what? Oil. Those are indicators of wealth, indicator of great promises of, fortunes of tomorrow. It says, but a foolish man spends it up. In other words, a foolish man is somebody who does not know how to apply the bricks, who does not know that there are some monies that are spendable and there are some money that are not spendable. It's important for us to realize that we need to make sure that we don't eat with all our hands. I love those four leprous men. Listen, for the first time they saw abundance. They partook of it, but they were thinking about tomorrow. They started making plans. That was why they went on two trips to carry loads and loads of silver, loads and loads of gold and raiment. They were wise, financially speaking. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to imbibe the culture of savings. Somebody was saying this years ago. He said, in case you want to know how much you need to save, you know, based on whatever you earn or you make, he says you subtract 20. From your year now, if let's say you are 30 years old, subtract 20, that's 10. That means you'll be saving 10% of what you earn or make. If you are 40, subtract 20, that means you'll be saving 20%. So, but whichever way, you just need to imbibe the culture of saving. That's very key. Let me run because of time. Number two, how can I become a prudent manager of resources? Number two, you need to imbibe the culture of an investor. You must have an investment mentality. What is investment? You know, investment simply is a way of just making money or whatever you have to work for you. Investment has to do with taking what you have, putting it to work so that you can gain an advantage or make a profit. Ladies and gentlemen, it's good to work for money, but it's better for money to work for you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important that we need to have this mentality. Do you know that even in this time of crisis, there are opportunities to invest? I was telling somebody recently, if you look at the stock price, it has fallen, it has crashed. It's a good time to invest. Somebody was telling me recently about God opening his eyes in the area of farming. Listen, the reality is that you cannot depend on one stream of income to survive. All of a sudden, this man's eyes has been opened to farming. He saw the opportunities that abound. And you know, because of what we are passing through, people will have to eat. And I want you to know that that's a good place to invest. You need to have an investment or an investor mentality. That is what will help you to be a prudent manager of resources. Thank God for your core competence that is generating the source of income you have now, but you need other sources of income. I pray for you this morning that God will open your eyes into seeing the opportunities that abound, even in this time of crisis, that will give you leverage, that will lift you above the storm in the name of Jesus. Number three, How can I be a prudent manager of resource? Develop the spirit of delayed gratification. Develop what? The spirit of what? Delayed gratification. We live in a world of instant gratification. That's why you have so many things done so fast. Fast food, fast this, fast that. You know, that's the world we live in. But the reality is this. I wanted you to know that some things don't happen that fast. That's why you need to have what I call the spirit of delayed gratification. You must know how to delay your gratification. That was the problem with the prodigal. He did not know how to delay his gratification. He wanted instant gratification. That's why he wasted everything he had. Listen to this. The power to say no. You are not supposed to say yes to all your cravings. The cravings of your flesh. The cravings of your mind. The cravings of your flesh is not supposed to dominate you. I was thinking about this one day. And God said this to me. He said, if you are not disciplining your mind, you're not disciplining your flesh, you're not disciplining your body, you can't be great in life. And that's true. Why was Joseph? Why did he become a great person in Egypt? Why was Daniel a great person in Egypt? You see that these two guys, they knew how to what? To say no to instant gratification. The Bible says in Daniel 1 verse 8, Daniel proposed in his mind that he was not going to defile himself. He exercised self-control. I'm going to wait. I pray for you this morning, the power to say no to those things that is eating into your financial freedom. Receive in the name of Jesus. The power to overcome all the areas, all the loopholes that the enemy is using to hurt your finances. Receive in the name of Jesus. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. I see you breaking free in the name of Jesus. I see you breaking free in the mighty name of Jesus. So you need to develop the spirit of what? Delayed gratification. That's very important. That's how you become a prudent manager of resource. Number four, how do you become a prudent manager of resource? You need to know how to honor God in your finances. Hear me and hear me well. Listen, many people have the mentality of ownership instead of the mentality of a steward. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2. The Bible says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In fact, 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says that whatever you have received, you receive it from God. You must see that everything you have, listen, everything you have was given to you by God. Do you know that honoring God in your finances is one of the indicators? Why? Listen, when you learn to give unto God what belongs to God, listen to this, God is teaching you the principle of stewardship, which is also the principle of how to be prudent with what you have. Matthew 22 verse 21. The Bible says, render therefore to God the things that is God, and unto Caesar the things that is Caesar. There's a scripture I love so much, Proverbs 28 verse 20. It says, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. Ladies and gentlemen, when you have the mentality of a steward and not somebody who sees himself as a owner, listen to this, everything that we have was given to us by God. And it's given to you in trust. And that's why, you see, when you give unto God what belongs to him, you are showing to God that, God, I can be depended upon. I'm a faithful steward. And that is part of the test of being a prudent manager of resource. I pray for you this morning that you begin to see yourself from the position of a steward and not an owner. In the mighty name of Jesus. Then finally, how can I be a prudent manager of resource? You need to imbibe the culture of minimizing unnecessary expenses. There's a law that is called Parkinson Law. Parkinson Law simply means expenses rise to meet income. Listen to this. You need to know how to minimize what I call unnecessary expenses. Not all expenses are necessary. Not all expenses are needful. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 23, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are what? Profitable. Not all things are what? Not all things edify. In other words, not everything will bring me a favorable upon. You need to cultivate the culture and the discipline of knowing what to say no to and what to say yes to. There are some things you need to say no to, and there are things you must say yes to if you're going to rise in this season. Don't follow everybody. Don't do what everybody is doing. You're not supposed to use other people's clock to judge or to gauge your life. Others are not a yardstick for the fulfillment of your destiny. At times people want to copy. People want to do what everybody's doing. But listen to this. You may not have the strength that they have. You run your own race. There is something about when you learn the habit of minimizing unnecessary spending and expenses, it will help you to develop the skill of being a prudent manager of resources. I pray for you this morning that the grace and the power to move into the dimension of being a prudent manager of resources begins to rest upon you today in the name of Jesus. Wherever you're watching me from this morning, say after me, say, I will not be a waster. I cease to be a spendthrift. I am going to be a wise manager of the resources that I have. If you believe that, say better, amen. Glory be to God. I see you entering into a new dimension of lifestyle, a new dimension of ease in the name of Jesus. This is a vital secret to succeeding in a time of crisis. And I see Jehovah helping you to cultivate. I see Jehovah helping you to imbibe the culture of being a prudent manager of resource. And I see you rising. I said, I see you rising. You are not going to go under in this season. You are going to rise and enter into your place of dominion in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory be to God. I want to go a step ahead once again today by giving us another powerful key that is going to help you and I. We're looking at keys that will help you. By the way, this should be key number 10. I think I need a mixed up. It should be key number 10 now. We have looked at 9 keys so far that's going to help us to succeed in a time of famine. The first one that we mentioned is that you must be mindful of what and who you hear. That's the first point that we mentioned. Then number 2 is that you must be mindful also of where you go or where you are going to. You must be mindful, number 3, of what you are saying or what you have said to yourself, because those are things that will define your destiny and your future in this season. That we want ahead to talking about, you must be mindful of your praise. That is key number 4. Then key number 5, we spoke about being mindful of what you do or what you are doing this season, because that will determine where you're going to end up. Then key number 6, we spoke about being mindful of what God is saying to you, because what God is saying to you will determine and define the direction you're supposed to go in this time of season. Then we went ahead to also speaking about key number 7. That was, you must be mindful of your faith. Your faith is crucial. Your faith is key to putting you over in this season, because your faith will make ways for you where there seems to be no way in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Then I spoke also of being mindful of the resources that you have at your disposal. So key number 10. What is the 10th secret to surviving and succeeding in a time of famine? The 10th key to surviving and succeeding in a time of famine is that you must be mindful of your generosity. Or you must be mindful, or you must pay attention to the law of generosity, or what we call the law of giving and receiving. Hear me and hear me well. You listen to this. In the time of famine, in the time of scarcity, a lot of people do not know or do not understand the role and the place of the law of generosity. What I've said now may look like a paradox or like an oxymoron compared to the last point that I mentioned. So I say, what has generosity got to do with my succeeding in the time of famine? When you look at the story that we read in 2 Kings chapter 7, the four lepers, you discover that they did not only take care of themselves, they were generous with the information they had access to. Read verse 9. Read verse 10. They did not keep the good news to themselves. Listen, God brought them to the place of abundance. God prospered them. They broke forth. They did not keep the good news to themselves. They shared it with the entire nation. They were generous. Let me say this to you, that the law of generosity or the principle of generosity is one of the keys that will help you to survive and to succeed in a time of famine. It's a very powerful principle. Naturally, humanly speaking, in the time of famine, in the time of scarcity, in the time of crisis, people tend to hold to their seed. People tend to shut the door of their heart to being compassionate, to being generous. But if you do that, you'll be shutting yourself out of God's remedy in this season and this time. Listen to me and listen good. There is something about the principle of generosity. God wants you to be generous with your time, generous with your treasure, generous with your time, generous with your talents. If you are going to succeed in this time of famine and crisis, you must activate the principle and the law of generosity, which is also known as the principle of giving and receiving. If you look at the story that I just mentioned here, you will see that the four leprous men were generous. They were interested in being a blessing to others. They were interested in helping others. Let me say this to you and hear me well. During the time of crisis, that's the time to be generous. That's not the time to shut your heart. That's the time to open the door of your heart. That's the time to be compassionate. That's the time to be liberal. The Bible says in Proverbs 11 verse 24, the Libra soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall himself also be watered. Hear me and hear me well. When you help others, you are actually helping yourself. When you are generous to others, you are actually helping yourself. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the time to shut the door of your heart. This is not the time for your hands to be tight. This is the time for your hands to be open. It's important that this is one of God's way of bringing you out of a time of crisis. Many of us know the story of the famine that happened during Elijah's time. 1 Kings 17, there was a famine. You see the principle of generosity at work. Listen, when you see a raven sharing his food, naturally, you expect that such kind of animals to be selfish. Because, listen to me, it was a time of scarcity, but God has spoken to the ravens, you must take food morning and evening to my servant. And the ravens obeyed the law of generosity. You see, the widow of Zarephath, she obeyed. When the brook dried up, verse 9, God told Elijah, your time is up here. Go to where? Go to Zarephath. The instruction was clear. I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you. So God spoke to the woman before Elijah came. She had from God, sustain, give. Listen to this. I know during the time of scarcity, listen to this. You see, listen, God's ways are not man's ways. Listen, the widow of Zarephath are helping the prophet Elijah. Listen, you will see that she invariably was helping herself. When you help others, always remember this, you're also helping yourself. That's the principle. It's the principle of generosity. If you close your hands, you will not be in the position of receiving. Watch this. When I open my hands, I'm in a position of giving and at the same time position of what? Receiving. When I close my hand, a closed fist simply means I cannot give, neither can I receive. Thank God the widow of Zarephath keyed in. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that another powerful principle that will bring us out, that will put you over in this time of crisis, is that you must be actively engaged in the principle of the law of generosity, which is also known as the law of giving and receiving. The Bible says in Genesis 8 verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed, time and harvest, cold and heat, day and night, winter and summer, shall, notice that, shall not cease. It is an eternal principle. And I want you to know that this is the time we need to be faithful. You need to be faithful with regards to your covenant with Jehovah. You must keep faith. Keep faith with the principle of giving and receiving. Keep faith with the law of generosity. Be faithful to God in terms of your support to his kingdom. Be faithful in terms of your support to helping your brothers out and your sister. There is great gain. It's one of the principles of surviving and succeeding in a time of famine. The Bible says in Proverbs 28 verse 20, the Bible says, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. Covenant practices are practices that we cannot afford to what? To jettison at such a time as this. The Bible was talking about the time of famine in the time of Isaac. Genesis 26. The Bible says that the famine was so bad. But the Bible makes me understand that in the time of famine, verse 12, Isaac she sold. The Bible says Isaac sold in that land. Which land? The land of famine. Listen to this. You need to know that more than ever before, this is the time to be generous. This is not the time to close your hands. This is not the time for your fists to be closed. This is the time for your hands to be open. It is part of God's principle of making sure that you survive and you succeed. And I see you rising in this season in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. I want to share with you very quickly because of my time this morning. Why should I be committed to the law of generosity? Why should I be giving to the principle of giving and receiving? Why? I will just give you some few reasons because of time. Number one, because the principle of generosity is an eternal principle. When you say eternal, what does that mean? It is not a respecter of persons. It is not a respecter of situation and circumstance. Listen, regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstance, it is still true. It is still faithful. That's why I said this is not the time to maintain a closed fist. This is the time to be liberal, because there is a blessing in it. Glory be to Jesus. I said, glory be to Jesus. I said, glory be to Jesus. The scripture says it. The Bible says in Psalm 126. Psalm 126 verse 5 and 6. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap what? In joy. He that goeth forth, verse 6, bearing precious seed with weeping. Why is he weeping? It's a time of famine. The Bible says, he shall doubtless return. God is not a respecter of persons, he's a respecter of faith. If you will be giving and committed to the law of generosity, if you will extend a helping hand to those who are in need, if you will obey the voice of God as to where to put your seed, you will survive and succeed in this season in the name of Jesus. Why? Why should I be committed? Why should I be giving? Why should I be committed to the law of generosity? I said the first reason is because it is an eternal law. It is not a respect of person. It works all the time. Whether it's a season of crisis or the season of abundance, season of scarcity or surplus, it is the same. Why? Because God is the same. Listen, he said, thou art the same and your years have no end. I love that. God is constant. God is dependable. That's why the law of generosity will not fail you in this season. The law of generosity will make ways for you in the name of Jesus. That's the first reason why you must be committed to the law of generosity. Number two, why should I be committed to the law of generosity in the time of crisis? Because generosity pays. Hear me. Generosity pays. Like I did mention earlier on, when you help others, you are putting yourself in the position of being helped. Because whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Whatever a man soweth, good or bad, that's what the Bible says in Galatians 6 verse 7. So generosity pays. When you are generous, you are actually helping yourself. Matthew 5 verse 7, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. Why? They will obtain mercy because they were merciful. So those who are not merciful or those who were not merciful will not obtain mercy. You know, I tell people, listen, you reap what you sow. That's the reality. If you're not satisfied with the kind of harvest your life is bringing forth, check the kind of seed you have been sowing. If somebody has been sowing mango seed, don't be surprised, you will reap lots of mangoes in harvest. You cannot be sowing mango seeds and reap a yam harvest. No. You cannot be sowing good and reap evil. Neither can you be sowing evil or reap good. There's a scripture, very powerful. Job 4 verse 8. It says, even as I've seen that they that sow iniquity and plow wickedness, they reap the same. That's the way it works. Generosity. Listen, your generosity will make way for you in this season. Your generosity will ensure that you are not stranded. Your generosity will ensure that you are well provided for. If you believe that, say amen. Because God will make ways for you. Hear me. God is still in the business of making ways. Hear me. God rules in the affairs of men. The God who could take care of Elijah. The God who could send the ravens and send the widows. Listen, he has prepared your place. There are places for your provision in this season. And your provision will not dry up. Listen, Jehovah has promised. My God, Philippians 4:19. I love that scripture. My God shall what? Supply. How many? All, not some, of your needs. How? Not according to the economy of your country. According to what? His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Listen, one of the reasons you need to be committed, one of the reasons you must be giving to the law of generosity in the time of crisis is because generosity pays. Number three, third reason, why should I be giving to the law of generosity in the time of crisis? Because your generosity also connects you to the blessed. The law of generosity opens you up for the blessings of God. Hear me and hear me well. I want you to know this morning that when you are generous, you are doing something. You are connecting to the blessing. Look at those scriptures that I've given earlier on. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 24, 25, there is he that scattereth. What happens? Increases. It opens the door of increase. There is he that withholds more than. Listen, it's not that God is against you keeping part of the harvest, but there is. Listen, even under the old covenant when they were farmers, God instructed them, don't take everything in the fields for yourself. Leave some for the widow, for the orphans. They were not supposed to eat. They were not supposed to harvest all that they had for themselves. They were supposed to think about others who were in need. So why should I be committed? Why should I be giving to the law of generosity in the time of crisis? Because like I said, it will open the door for usual blessings. Back to that scripture, Proverbs 11, 25. He now says, the Libra soul shall be made fat. That word Libra means the generous soul. In fact, the literal Hebrew says the soul of blessing. So a generous man, a generous person possesses the soul of blessing. That's the link. And when I talk about the blessing, I'm talking about the empowerment of God to succeed. You need God's empowerment to succeed. There's what we call the blessing. Proverbs 10, 22. The blessing of the Lord. What does it do? It makes rich. It doesn't add any sorrow. That word the blessing talks about the supernatural empowerment of God that helps you to prosper and succeed. It is the blessing that produces blessings in your life. And I want you to know that the law of generosity, it connects you to the blessing. You need the blessing of God in this season. You need the blessing of God in this hour. Because even the experts are confused. The systems are failing. But God's systems abide forever. There's a scripture in Psalm 37. Verse 25, 36. It says, I've been young, now I'm old. It's a testimony of the righteous. I have been young, now I'm old. He said, yet I have never seen the righteous. What? Forsaken. Nor his seed begging for. Do you know why he's not forsaken? Read verse 26. It says, he is ever merciful. The righteous. The righteous is ever merciful and lendeth. The word lendeth means generous. Give it. And the Bible says, and his seed is blessed. That's why he's blessed. He's a giver. He's a generous person. Why do I need to be committed? I'll give you two more reasons before we close. Why do I need to be committed to the law of generosity in this time? Because giving is a spiritual force. It's a supernatural force. It's a supernatural force that is higher than natural and physical circumstance. Let me say something to you. In case you don't know, money is not just physical. Money is a spiritual entity. That's the truth. It's just like your blood. Blood is not just physical. Blood is spiritual. And I want you to know that when you engage in the law of generosity, you are tapping into a higher principle, a higher and superior law to any other natural law. The laws of God are faithful. The laws of God never fail. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1. It says, cast your bread upon the waters. I love that. Cast your bread upon the waters. You shall find it. You shall find it after many days. Isaiah 32 verse 20. It says, blessed are those who sow besides all waters. Not some, all waters. I prophesy to you the name of Jesus. As you engage the law of generosity in this season of crisis, I see you rising. I see you rising above the storm. I see you breaking forth and taking new territories in the name of Jesus. Then one more reason. Because of my time this morning, why do I need to be committed to the law or the principle of generosity in the time of crisis? Is because that is the best time to sow. That's the best time to sow. Hear me. That's the best time to sow. Your greatest hour of need is supposed to be your greatest hour of giving. Listen and listen. What you need the most is what you need to give away the most. That's why this law of generosity is so important. It's a powerful principle. What you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. The question is this: what are you making happen for others? Are you making anything happen for others? Are you making anything happen for his kingdom? If you're not making anything happen for others, you're not making anything happen for his kingdom, that simply means you're not engaged in the law of generosity. Listen. What you have is not enough to sustain you. You need God's help and God's empowerment. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why the widow woman, our last meal, she shared it. When she shared it, the miracle of multiplication began. 1 Kings 17 verse 14, the word of the Lord says, thus saith the Lord, the barrel of meal will not waste. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord send it. I prophesy to you this morning, your barrel of meal will not waste. Your cruse of oil will not fail in this season of crisis. Your supply will never dry up. God will always make ways for you, ways beyond what you can ask, ways beyond what you can think. You will not only survive this season, you will succeed in this season. You will not only succeed in this season, you have significance in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. I want you to rise up on your feet, whatever you're watching me with. I will pick it up next Tuesday, hopefully finish it. Lift up your hands and begin to thank Him this morning. Begin to thank Him this morning for His word. Begin to thank Him because God has a contingency plan. He has a plan. He has a plan. He has a plan. Hey! He has a plan for you in this season. You are not going under. You are going above. You are not going to sink. You are going to soar high. You are soaring high. Hey! You will survive this pandemic. You will succeed in this pandemic. Whatever the crisis, whatever the situation in the marketplace, whatever the situation in the economies of the world, listen to this. Not only will your account be balanced, you will survive this season. Lift up your hands and begin to pray this morning. Say, Lord, help me. Help me to be committed to the law of generosity. Help me to be committed. Holy Spirit, help me to be a prudent manager. A prudent manager of the resources. Resources that you have placed at my disposal. Help me to be a prudent manager. Because if you can handle little, it's an indication that you can handle much. Go ahead and begin to pray this morning. Limbro bakasore de gasuse, yen pruda bakasore de bekesise, yen gredi braninge prude zuse, ipra namanga prodige suser yangata. Le corada bacassus, le carose carica paracatus, libra namange corobasus, ibra neke correge susse, apre di kika prodaca prodiga prodigasa. We give you glory this morning. We give you praise. I want to release your faith as I pray with you this morning. Spirit of the living God, thank you for sending your word. Wherever your word is, there is your power. When you send your word, you send your power also. Lord, I declare this morning, as your word has gone forth, let your power go forth. Go forth into the lives, go forth into the situation, go forth into the circumstance of your people. Let it bring healing, let it bring restoration. Let this word lift, let this word encourage. Lord, confirm this word with signs and wonders in the lives of every listener this morning in the name of Jesus. The wisdom, the ability to prosper in a time of crisis. Thank you, Father, for releasing that grace unto every one of your children in the name of Jesus. As your word has declared, this season will be a season of flourishing for us. This season is a season of rising for us. Thank you, Father, for healing every sick body. Thank you, Father, for bringing deliverance to the world of your people. I give you the glory because this word will not return back to you void in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise. Just lift up your hands and thank Him.